The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, Pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you, if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, why do you have to make it so hard? Forgiveness isn't easy, and you want us to do it how many times? You want us to live each day interpreting what others do in the most positive ways? You want us to be a united community of faith, but I know that there are people who are voting for the other guy? Now, I eat mostly meat, and you want me to like people who only eat vegetables? That's kind of a joke, but there's no one here to laugh. Lord, why do you make it so hard? Maya Angelou says it like this: While I know myself as a creation of God, I am also obligated to realize and remember that everyone else and everything else are also God's creation. As one person interprets this, the first truth secures our own selves and who we are, reminding us that we are the Lord's. The second challenges us to include others in that promise. As Paul is writing the letter to the Romans, he's trying to unite a diverse group of people. They think and do and eat and live in a variety of ways. These differences cause struggle and judgment in the community. Now, as God's people called together in this community, we too think and do and eat and live in a variety of ways. But our differences do not need to divide us, because we have something even greater holding us together. Unity in Christ does not equal uniformity in all of our beliefs. Paul recognizes again the differences between the people that he's talking to, and he navigates through them in this case without trying to take one side or the other. He wants the people to know that these points of division are not central to who they are or whose they are. And he tries to keep bringing them back to what is central to the faith. Now, if you were able to look around this sanctuary this morning, you would see some of the things that are central to our faith. Above me stands the cross, an object that was used to bring shame on the one who hung from it. But God used the cross to open the gates of heaven and hell, so that there is no place that has not been touched by God's love and grace and mercy. Before me is the font, where we are made God's children in the waters of baptism, where we have been literally drowned and raised to new life in Christ Jesus. And next to me is the altar. And today it is empty of bread and wine, but it is the place where we gather, the place where Christ promises to meet us, the place where we join together with believers of all times and places, the place where we receive not because we are worthy, but because God loves us so much, that the body and blood that is shared is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, if you were to look around the rest of this room, we might find some of our differences. You may have a favorite Bible story depicted in one of these windows. But you also may have a favorite Bible story that isn't depicted in one of these windows. There's an organ, a piano, a guitar, and other instruments in this space. We have hymnals with sacred hymns and newer songs, and we have a screen to share the words to a variety of music that we sing. But we don't all like the same music or instrument or media. You may walk into this space and look to the far left corner, which I know I'm pointing right, but that's the far left corner, and see the American flag. And it may bring you comfort just knowing it is here. And for others, it can feel like a distraction to the central things of our faith. Many of you have your favorite spot to sit in this sanctuary, but for many months now, your spot has been empty. As we return to in-person worship, your pew may be left empty, or someone else may actually sit in your spot, because for the time being, we need to continue to be physically distanced. Some can make the decision to worship here, and some have to make the decision to stay home for now. Some think it's about time we worship inside, and others wonder if it's a wise decision. These are things that could divide us, but can you see that these things are not central to who we are as God's people in this congregation? We have cross and font and table and God's word, whether we worship here in person or we watch the live stream or the video later. If we can't be united here, if we can't be united as a congregation of people gathered, then I don't think there's a chance of us being united out there. And again, we are united by the things that are central to us. The cross of Christ, the font in which we are baptized, the table where we are fed, and God's word that feeds us, that corrects us, that leads us forward. All of the other things, as important as they may be to you as an individual, aren't what's central to who we are as God's people, as a congregation. Our unity is found in Christ Jesus, as Paul says. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Siblings in Christ, where will you work to create unity this week? I am heartened by those who are asking how they can help all of the people affected by the fires. I am heartened by the people who have taken it upon themselves to donate and deliver items to those in need. I am heartened by the pictures of people in our congregation who have been busy volunteering in Springfield. I am heartened by those who cannot go outside because of the poor air quality, but they still want to find a way to help. I'm heartened by all of the firefighters spread thin across this side of the world, this part of our nation, doing the very best work that they can do each day. I'm heartened by the leadership team of the Bethel Boutique who is finding new ways to distribute clothing to those in need in the Bethel School District, recognizing that even on Zoom, kids need clothing that they can feel comfortable and confident in. I am heartened by the volunteers who were here on Friday and Saturday so that food could be distributed to our neighbors in need, even as the air was filled with so much smoke. Siblings in Christ, I am confident that we can show Christ's unity in an immeasurable amount of ways. As we work to create unity, this week, do one thing. Reach out to at least one other member of our church, of our congregation. And if you're not a member of Bethesda and you are watching on YouTube or Vimeo or listening on Podbean, reach out to someone in your community, wherever that community may be. And if you feel like reaching out to more than one person, reach out to more. But don't let the week go by without making that one connection. If you like to write cards or notes, send one out. If you like to make phone calls, pick up the phone. If you see someone doing something amazing on your Facebook feed, leave them a response saying, "I'm proud of the work you're doing," or whatever encouragement you are able to give. Now, if you were all here right now, I'd want you to nod your head so I know that you're paying attention. But today I just need to trust that you're listening. You may be asking, why is this so important? It's important because if we don't know one another, how can we work towards the unity that we have in Christ Jesus? Now, I don't mean that you have to know every member of Bethesda, because that would be a hard thing for any one person to do. But when we invest in our getting to know one another, then we can be strengthened in our unity. We can find our community, in our commonality in the cross, in the font, in the table, and in God's Word. As we hear in Ephesians, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone." When we seek unity in Christ Jesus, our work is not in vain. There are plenty of things happening in our world today that can divide us. But as I watch the work that you are doing to support this community with food and clothing and other needs, I can see how we are united. The cross, the font, the table, God's words are the central ways that we are connected to Christ Jesus and in Christ to one another. And not only connected, but claimed by God as beloved children. The things that bring us together will always be greater than the things that would divide us. Lord, this feels like hard work, but we know that you are leading us on this journey. As siblings in Christ, as members of Bethesda Lutheran Church seeking out the unity we have in Christ Jesus, we live to the Lord and we die to the Lord, so that we do not live or die in vain.